Good morning. Well, for me, it is a very happy day when the rain comes and I get to hear the choir sing. If that is not the case for you, I will pray for you that you will grow in your sanctification. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our heavenly Father, I want to pause at this point and just rest in the words that the choir has ministered to us these last few minutes. I so desperately want those words to be true of me, that you are all to me. And my heart cries out that that would be true. And yet I know, Lord, I know how short I fall. I cannot imagine how you would see it. And when I face that reality, Lord, my only comfort is to know that you are a gracious and compassionate God. That you are a God who forgives my sin, my blatant rebellion against you, and my completely unknown passive absent-mindedness toward you. And you are the God who grows me to make those words more and more a reality of my own life. Lord, I humbly ask that you would make the cry of that song the cry of all of our hearts, and that we all would rest in the settled knowledge that you are a gracious and loving God, and that you are the God who by your Spirit seeks to grow that in us, and does grow that in us, and accomplishes that more and more in our lives. Lord, do that work today. Would you use John 9 as this is the passage that we come to? Would you use this passage to grow that more in us? That we would cry out, you are all, in all that we do. Please, Lord, bless us to this end. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John chapter 9. We are going to do the whole chapter, so you can be thankful there are only 41 verses. And though it may seem like a lot, really this is a passage that moves very quickly. And so we'll come through this with some speed here. But let us read the whole thing to set the word before us as we begin. Let us hear God's word together. I will read the Gospel according to John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, Is this not the man who used to sit begging? Some said, It is he. Others said, no, it is, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the man, to the blind man, what do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But now he see, now he, but how he see, but how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone should, that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. And thus reads God's word. As we come into chapter 9, one of the things that we need to observe right from the beginning is the very, very close connection that this has to chapter 8. This is all happening in the wake of what we looked at last week and what we talked about last week. If you look back at the last couple of verses of chapter 8, you have Jesus saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And you'll remember that as the great climax of everything that's been building up, really from the beginning of chapter 7 in a sense. But certainly through chapter 8, and he gets to this point, "Before Abraham was, I am." And everybody knows what he's claiming at this point, don't they? Everybody knows he's claiming to be God. And this rings in their ears. So much so, and they're so offended by this, that they're picking up stones to throw him, because the sentence for such blasphemy is death. They are to be executed. If anybody claims this sort of a thing, they have to be executed. And so all of the Jews hearing this, they don't believe that it's true. They don't know. They don't understand that this is true. So they think he's committing blasphemy. So what are they going to do? They're going to execute him, right? That's what happens here. And we read in verse 59. "So they pick up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." He's able to hide. He's able to get away. We don't know exactly how. It really doesn't matter. He hides himself, and then he goes out, and he's leaving the temple. Now, what we have in chapter 9, starting in verse 1, is what's happening as he's leaving the temple. The temple area, it had these gate areas, and you would have entered through one of these gates. And anybody who was unclean, for instance, I don't know, say somebody who had been born blind, anybody who was unclean, they couldn't go all the way in. So you know what they did is they went to these gates and they would beg. You can read about this, for instance, in Acts chapter 3. You see a similar instance as the people are going up to worship, as James and or John and Peter are going up. They encounter a crippled man. And you see different things like this in other parts of the scriptures. So Jesus is coming out. And it's right here. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. That as he passed by is as he's going out of the temple. And I want to highlight that right from the start because I want to give you a sense of the atmosphere in which all of chapter 9 is happening. The air is electric. The ears of the people are ringing with these claims of this guy named Jesus who has stood up and said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me, and out of him will flow streams of living water." And then a little later, he says, "I am the light of the world." And now he's just said, "Before Abraham was, I am." This messianic expectation that had lived and had simmered in Israel for years and years. Everybody's starting to look and say, "Is this it? Is this what's, is, whoa, this is shocking." And it's out of this that he goes out of the temple. And as he's passing by, he sees this guy. And this guy was evidently somewhat well known because the disciples recognize him. And they kind of nudge Jesus a little bit. They bump him. They have this question. Maybe they've talked about it before. You can imagine. You know, we'll ask Jesus that sometime. And they're passing by and it occurs to them, we should ask, Jesus, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? And the question reveals a very basic understanding that a lot of Jewish people had in the time of Jesus, that whatever things were going wrong with you were a direct consequence of your sin. Now Jesus himself rejects this. That can sometimes be true. It doesn't have to be true at all. And the rest of the New Testament teaches a lot of other things on this, as well as the Old Testament for that matter. But they're just reflecting a debate that they've had and a common understanding of the Jewish people in that time. And the question is, well, okay, did his parents do something that caused this? Or did he somehow sin in the womb that he came out born, that he was born blind? And they want to know. Now, you can imagine this poor guy sitting there hearing this going on. Think about that. And here Jesus now looks back and he says, well, neither. Neither. It was not that this man sinned, nor his parents. It wasn't either of those things. And then the way the rest of this reads, it can actually read a couple of different ways, depending on where you want to put punctuation. And one of the things to keep in mind is when this was originally written, when John wrote this, he would have written without spaces between words, without punctuation. This would have just all run together. Even if you pick up a Greek New Testament today, the punctuation is what the editors think it ought to represent. Okay, so the way that this can read could go a couple of different ways. I lean to the latter, but I don't know. Either way, we'll see that it's communicating one basic thing. So it could read one of two ways. Here, if you look at verses 3 and 4 with me, it could read the way that the ESV has it right here. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. So what Jesus is saying with this is, well, it's not that this man sinned, it's not that his parents sinned, but this came about, this man was born this way because God had a specific design in mind. And God had planned that this thing was going to happen, that the works of God might be displayed in him. This happened because God wants to display his works in this guy. So then, period, and then you read on. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. And on the sentence goes, night is coming. Now that's one very legitimate way to understand this. The other way would go something like this. You go back to verse 3. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him, we must work the works of him who... Do you see what I did? It could be that. What Jesus could be doing is saying, well, it's not that this man sinned, it's not that his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be displayed, we need to do these works now. In other words, Jesus may not even address why it is that this guy's, he's just saying, it doesn't really matter. What matters is we must do the works that God has given us to do now. And I want you to pay attention to the fact that the works are in plural. Because there are two distinct works that are going to happen now. Two. Either way you read it, is God about to do these works? Does God intend to do these works? Are these what John wants to focus us in on so that we can see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that we would believe that and believing we would have life in his name? Is that why this is here? Yes. So here we go. Are you ready? These are the works. And these works must be done, he says, by the way, because night is coming. And I think that this is a kind of a literary way of talking about the fact that he is soon to die and that he's going to be taken out of the world. He's got to do these things now, to show these things now. And what's going to end up happening, well, that's for future sermons. But let's see now. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Oh, now he's come back to that, hasn't he? He's gone back to chapter 8:12, where he stood up and said, I am the light of the world. And now he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Watch, are you guys ready? Are you ready? What is he going to do? It's attractive, isn't it, Jesus? Excuse me. Spits on the ground. That's weird. How often do you see Jesus spit? He's no cowboy. It gets weirder. Because he now kneels down to the ground, and you know what he does? He kneads it into the ground. Turns it into this pasty mud. And then he picks it up, and in a display of divine cleanliness, pastes this onto the guy's eyes. Okay, now, I don't know. Maybe you guys don't know this. I see a lot of people don't wear glasses. You know what happens if you get stuff on your glasses? You can't see as well. And do you know what happens? If you just put a bunch of mud on somebody's eyes and it dries, you can't see. So let's just stop and ask the question right from the start. Is this the ordinary way that you would expect to enable somebody to see? By actually inhibiting their vision. Well, this guy had none from the start. And then what's he do? He makes mud and he puts it on this guy's eyes. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. And he anointed the man's eyes and then he says, go. He puts this on the guy's eyes and he sends him to the pool called Sent. He sends him to the pool of Siloam. The pool, by the way, where the priests would have gone down to with the pitchers and gotten the water out for the water ceremonies that were going on at the Feast of Tabernacles when Jesus got up and said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. He sends him to that exact pool and says, wash. And the guy with his pasted eyes and probably his helpers, they go off. And here he goes, walking with the Jesus spit mud on his eyes to the pool of Siloam to wash. And Jesus now at this point leaves the scene, doesn't he? We see this. He anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And he went and washed, and he came back seeing. And I want you to notice now that we start in verse 8 now, and it's not until verse 35 that Jesus comes back into the scene. He's the subject of a fair bit of what's going on, but he's not active now. We have this guy who goes off, he washes, and he comes back, and his neighbors, the people around him, they're the first to encounter him, right? He comes back, and he can see. By the way, I want you to notice that when Jesus performs miracles, does he give the physical ability for the guy to see? Yes, but this is a guy who had never seen anything. Did he know what he was looking at? Have you ever considered the fact that when Jesus does a miracle, he doesn't just give the physical ability to process data, but he gave the intellectual ability to interpret the data that he's seeing? That when this guy looked and saw a tree, he knew it was a tree. He knew these were stairs. You see that illustrated in a different story when Jesus also made his divine mud spit and put it on a guy's eyes. He did it a couple of times. He spits on the guy's eyes and he says, well, yeah, I see they look like, well, I see people walking, but they look like trees. How did he know what trees look like? This guy comes back, and what is he saying? I can see. I can see. Did everybody know that this guy had been born blind? Are the people a bit confused? Have they ever seen anything like this? Never. And this chapter makes this very clear. This is unprecedented. So you can imagine a bit of confusion, can't you? You can imagine the way that these people respond, and this is how they do it. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Is this that guy? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. Now let's be fair. If you've never had a guy born blind regain his sight, and you have this guy walking around clearly able to see, is it a reasonable conclusion that a doppelganger has come along? That's kind of where these people are at. Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the guy. I'm the man. It's me. It's me. Have you ever had that experience where you're trying to tell people something and nobody's believing you and you feel like you're the only sane person in the room and everybody else is crazy? No? Darn, that's lonely. Well, that's where he is. It's me, guys. I can see. I can see. So they said, how were your eyes opened? He said, he answered them, this man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. And they said, where is this guy? Right? You can hear this now, can't you? Where is he? And the guy looks around. What a great thing right there, isn't it? He looks for Jesus. He can look for Jesus. And he does. He looks around for Jesus and he says, I don't know. How would he know what he looked like? He asks around, where is it? Jesus is nowhere to be found. So the people, very graciously, many of them maybe perhaps unwilling to help guide this guy around when he was blind, are now very willing to guide this guy and take him to the Pharisees. And they lead him down to the Pharisees. Because in the Old Testament, who is it that gives sight? Go back and read in Exodus chapter 4, I think it is. God says he's the one that gives hearing and sight. And you read that in the Psalms too. You read in Isaiah about the Messiah, the coming Messiah, the guy who is going to give sight to the blind. Did these Jews know those passages? Does this look like a work of God? Well, of course, who are you going to take this guy to then? You're going to take him to the religious leaders, aren't you? This is where you get. So what do? They take him to the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees the man. And so now we have this guy's first encounter with the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And you go, dun, 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 right? You know something's coming every time one of the gospel writers points out it was a Sabbath that this happened. This was a rest day. And what did Jesus do? He did a healing that wasn't there to save a life. He didn't have to do it on that day. Do you work like that on a Sabbath day according to the Pharisees? Uh-uh. Oh, but he did worse. He kneaded. You don't need your bread on the Sabbath day. And you do not need the mud that you put on somebody's eyes to make them see. Oh, Jesus had broken all sorts of rules. And what did the Pharisees say to that? Well, let's see. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened the eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Do you guys know, this guy does not have 3 advanced degrees in apologetics, right? There's nothing wrong with apologetics at all. I'm just saying, what does this guy do? He just testifies to what he knows about Jesus. Is that all you really need to do? Learn the other stuff too. But just testify to what you know about Jesus. They say, what happened? He says, this is what happened. And some of the Pharisees say, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Well, there's a good conclusion. You can understand why they came to it, though. They had their rules. They had their way of interpreting the Sabbath law. And nobody works on the Sabbath. God would not have anybody work on the Sabbath. But does God work on the Sabbath? But it actually divides the Pharisees. Only some of them come to that conclusion. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? The Pharisees are encountering this unprecedented nature of things, right? Wait, let's stop and ask here. How can this man who is a sinner, if he's breaking the Sabbath, that makes him a sinner, right? But how could he do such, how could he do God's works if he's so blatantly sinning? And so some of them are starting to raise some questions here, and there's a division among them. So they said to the man born blind, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? A very sane question. What do you think? He said, he is a prophet. And this is a very good response, I think, of the guy. Remember, he was outside the temple. Did he probably hear all of these things that Jesus was saying in chapter 7 and 8? Probably not. He wasn't in there. He might have heard rumors of this. But if you look back into the Old Testament, who are the people who are doing great miracles, who are doing great signs from God? Who are they? They're prophets, right? Moses was a prophet. Elijah and Elisha were prophets. These are guys, these are the people of God. These are the ones who are doing the works of God, the miracles of God, right? They're God's representatives doing these things. This guy did this. The guy's like, this guy's a prophet. He fits into that pattern. Okay, well, wait. Was this guy really born blind? I mean, how do we know? Well, that's the question that they move into, isn't it? Okay, well, he says this, but could this just be a fake miracle that they planned this ahead? Well, how are we going to find out about this? Let's talk to his parents. So what do they do? The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked him, is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son. They affirm, yes, this is the one, right? We know that this is our son, and we'll tell you, both of them testifying, he was born blind. We know those two things. We'll testify to those. But how he sees now, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. Do they want to jump into that one? No, and you see why. John tells us why, doesn't he? He puts in this little parenthetical comment. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. They're going to excommunicate him, basically. And do they want to say, well, it was Jesus who did it? No, they just throw their son under the bus. They're willing to stand up and say, yes, he is our son. They're willing to stand up and say, yes, he was born blind. But we're not going to say that we believe his testimony. He's of age. Ask him. He's an adult. Talk to him. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. So the Pharisees come back a second time to the man born blind. But I think this guy's starting to get what the British would call cheeky. Well, listen to him now. For a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. We know he is a sinner because he did this work on the Sabbath. So we're telling you now, you need to give glory to God. Now, the irony throughout this section is so thick you can cut it with a knife. Because does this guy actually give glory to God by testifying to Jesus? Yes. There's a lot of this through here. Watch. You give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. So the way you give glory to God is agree with us. Sounds like some theological debates today. Never mind. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Hey, You know what, guys? You want to call him a sinner? Fine. I don't know. This is what I know. My whole life I was blind. I did what this guy said. I met this guy. Now I see. I'm just going to tell you what I know, guys. They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And the guy kind of is like, "Maybe my ears aren't working. Thought you guys already asked me this." And he answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" It's hilarious, isn't it? And you can see all of the Pharisees sitting there, and they're just simmering. They're starting to shake with anger, like, "You accuse us of wanting to be his disciples?" Well, he says, "Do you also want..." What is this guy already thinking of himself as? Well, he's already said he's a prophet, right? You can understand, is he going to follow this guy? Yeah, he's like, do you guys want to join me? He's evangelizing. You guys also want to be his disciples too? I've told you already, you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple. Fine, you be his disciple. We are disciples of Moses." Trump card, right? "We are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we don't know where he comes from." And this man born blind knows he has them. He knows he's got them right where he wants them. Because this is what he says. "Why? This is an amazing thing." And he smiles at him. It doesn't say that, but I suspect that that's what happened. "This is amazing. Guys, do you guys realize this? You do not know where he comes from. You guys are the religious people. You guys are the leaders. This is amazing. You guys are the religious leaders, and you don't know where he comes from. Yet he opened my eyes." Okay, watch this, guys. We know that God does not listen to sinners. We know he doesn't listen to sinners. To which the Pharisees have to go, "Yeah, okay." We know he does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing, right? Right? You see what he did? You guys call this guy a sinner, but we know God doesn't listen to sinners. Who does God listen to? Worshippers, people who are faithful. Has anybody ever opened the eyes of a blind man, a man born blind from birth? No. Who could do something like this? Had to be a work of God, right? So God listened to this guy, right? And you're the religious leaders. And you don't recognize that God listened to this guy. And you call him a sinner. I was the one blind, but you guys are the ones who can't see. You guys are the ones who can't see the miracle that has just taken place. Interesting, isn't it? Of course, the Pharisees, if they were mad before, well, what did they do? They did exactly what the parents feared would happen to them. They send this guy out. "You were born in utter sin." They go back and they contradict what Jesus had said back with the disciples, right? The disciples ask, who sinned, this guy or his parents? Well, they don't care. We just know you were born in sin. We know that you were born in sin. And you would teach us? Well, yes, he would. But they are so proud. They are so unteachable. They are so blind that they won't hear what he had to say. And they kick him out. They cast him away. Now Jesus hears that they had cast him out. So what does Jesus do? He goes and finds the guy. He goes and finds him. He says, do you believe in the Son of Man? This guy, I think perhaps giddy with excitement, being back with Jesus, this guy who had given him his sight, Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the guy's response is basically, tell me who he is so I can believe in him. Because I'll believe in whoever you tell me to believe in. Because I'm following you. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said. Now, by the way, who is the Son of Man? You go back to Daniel chapter 7 and you can read about the Son of Man. Is this a man from God? Is this the Messiah? Is this the promise? Yes. Thinking that Jesus is a prophet to point to this guy, the man born blind says, okay, tell me who he is so I can believe in him. And Jesus says, you have seen him. Chuckle, chunkle, weak, weak, nudge, nudge. Because his eyes were open so he could physically see, but has he perceived that this Jesus is a guy from God? Has he seen that? Has he seen the light? Yes. Yes, he has. You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And what does the man do? He says, Lord, I believe. And maybe that twinge of suspicion wants to creep up again, because we've kind of become suspicious of some people in the gospel according to John who say they believe and it turns out that they don't, right? But maybe you also think back to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. She really believed, didn't she? Hers was not a fake faith. Or a half faith or a duplicitous faith. It was real. You think about the man who sought out Jesus because his son was on death's door. And Jesus said, go, your son is made well. And we ask the question, what happened there? He believed. He believed and he went. Did he really believe? Does this guy really believe? Yes. And how do we know? Because he gave the response of faith. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And at this point, Jesus says, for judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. And has this just been illustrated for us in this entire passage? Did the Pharisees have eyes that worked? But did Jesus coming into the world as the light of the world demonstrate, reveal, show their blindness? Yes. Their spiritual blindness. And as the light of the world, did this poor beggar, this unclean man, was he made to see physically? And was he made to see spiritually? Yes. For judgment, Jesus says, I have come into the world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near heard these things, and they said, are we also blind? if you were blind, you would have no guilt. Or you could render that, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, but do they believe in Jesus? No. They remain obstinate in their sin. And so what does Jesus say? Your guilt remains. Now, I want to present to you, by way of closing, a couple of different people. Are you ready for this? This is a little different kind of application today. And you could think about, let's just have person A and person B, okay? I want to present to you person A first. Maybe you've seen something like this. I can say that I've never myself done it, but there are these things that sometimes you'll see around. Maybe you have kids, maybe you have grandkids that have been a part of something like this. I say I've never been a part of it. I've been tempted on several occasions, so I can't put myself above it. But years ago, I was going over on the ferry to Seattle, and there were all these people dressed up in all of these superhero costumes, and I thought, this is strange. Found out there was a Comic-Con going on over there. Have you heard of these things? A Comic-Con, right? And these people dress up as these superheroes, and they go, and it's like they immerse themselves in this world. Now, that might seem strange to me, but then I thought about a Star Trek convention, and I realized, I understand. And I saw a video recently of one of these Star Trek conventions, and you've got these people that they immerse themselves in this world, in this life, and they learn Klingon, and it's mind blowing, even to somebody like me, and I have Star Trek cufflinks, and you know, I mean, this is they're very into this, and they immerse themselves in this world, and it becomes so real to them, right? Or maybe you've seen this with other things, with Star Wars, or the Lord of the Rings. You know, they dress up as elves and they learn Elvish. I mean, Tolkien made this whole language out of this, and there's this realm, there's this world that's so real to these people, right? And they immerse themselves in it, and to some extent, they almost want to go out into the world and bring it with them. And some of them do, and it's kind of awkward, right? Maybe you've seen this, or you can imagine it, or you can understand it, right? But there's this other world that they access, and whether they access it through the movies or the stories, the books or whatever, they get into this, and it just becomes so much a part of them that they're so into it. You understand what I'm talking about thus far? This is person A over here, right? Now let's come over to person B. And he reads this book. And he reads about this world that is breaking into this world. This realm and this reign that the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing. And he meets this guy. Now, this guy over here, he meets Gandalf. Cool guy. This guy meets Jesus. And everything about him is captivating, is riveting, is lovely, and is lovable. And maybe you can understand both of them, but you see this guy over here, and you know what? He looks and he says, yeah, but this world here is really real. And the world that this Jesus is bringing in, this is real reality. And I don't want to live in the other world anymore. I have seen something here that is more real, more precious, more beautiful, more wonderful than anything else. What's happened to this guy? What's happened here? I mean, for many of us, we would look at this person over here and we would say, I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. And you know what? Much of the world looks at this guy over here and says the exact same thing, don't they? What's happened here? Did the Pharisees get it for the man born blind? Did they understand? Did they see? The way Paul talks about it in Ephesians, having the eyes of our hearts enlightened. What has happened with those who meet the Lord Jesus Christ and see who he is and believe that he is the Son of Man, that he is God? What has happened to these people here? The eyes of their hearts have been opened and they see and they believe. Or to use the language of 2 Corinthians 4. Well, if they're not here, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But the veil has been lifted. Those who see Jesus as he has revealed himself here see and they believe. And this world is now breaking in. And they follow him because this is the world they want to live in now. And so I'll come back to the middle. Over here, there are 100 worlds, aren't there? And you can escape into any one of them, can't you? Over here is Jesus. And I ask the question first, have you seen Jesus? I hope you have. And you say, how do I see Jesus? Well, you know what it took for this guy? Did it take eyes that work? Did it take believing that Jesus is God? Do you believe? Put your faith in him. See that reality. And allow the Lord to open the eyes of your heart, to see him. See Jesus. Give yourself to him. Do you know what you have to do? Believe. That's it. Trust in him. Believe. And if you believe, give yourself to that world. Give yourself to him. Be his disciple. Follow him. With all your might, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love him, follow him. And then you know what? When somebody says, what happened to you? I was blind. Now I see. And invite them to see the same person, to see God, to look upon Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Our God, our Lord, open eyes, Lord, please. And of those whose eyes you have opened, grow hearts Make yourself our all. Call us more into your world, into your realm. Let us see, Lord. Let us give you glory. Let us worship you. Please, Lord, work in us to that end. We ask this in Jesus' name.